The epistle for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapters 5 and 6. Brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, and if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every one prove his own work, and so he shall have glory in himself only, and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden, and let him that is instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. For he that soweth in his flesh, of the flesh also shall reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not fall, for in due time we shall reap, not failing. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, Weep not. And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, Young man, I say to thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on them all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet is risen up amongst us, and God hath visited his people. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you and shall reproach you for the Son of Man's sake. Be glad in that day and rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. These words are taken from the Gospel of the Feast of the North American Martyrs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, this morning I would like to speak to you not about the Gospel for today's Mass, but the feast that we will be celebrating this Thursday on the Feast of the North American Martyrs. They are a special patron of the congregation of the Society of St. Pius V, the priests of the congregation of St. Pius V, and they are special to the North American continent because they were one of the first missionaries to spill their blood for the sake of spreading the faith. And in particular, I would like to speak to you about St. John de Brébeuf, who was the very first Jesuit missionary to come to the north of Canada. He arrived in the New World on the 19th of June in the year 1625. He was himself, he described what it was like to live among the savages. He wrote this in a letter to his superiors. He said, One must sleep on the bare earth or a hard rock. He said, One must endure continually the stench of tired out savages and must walk in water, in mud, and in the forest, where the stings of an infinite number of mosquitoes and gnats are a serious annoyance. He continues to write, "We all, that is, all of the missionaries, had to begin by these experiences, to bear the cross that our Lord presents to us for his honor and for the salvation of these poor barbarians." In truth, St. John de Brébeuf goes on to say, "I was sometimes so weary that the body could do no more. But at the same time, my soul experienced very deep peace, considering that I was suffering for God." In other words, St. John de Brébeuf's great love for God and his great love for souls strengthened him to endure these many trials and sufferings in spreading the faith to the Indians. And he heroically labored for those Indians for almost 24 years until his martyrdom in 1649. And the tortures he suffered before his death are beyond belief. It was on a Tuesday, March 16th, when the Iroquois Indians attacked the village in which Father Brébeuf and Father Gabriel Lalemant were stationed. The Jesuit missionaries had a chance to escape, even. But being good shepherds, they remained with their flock until the end. And thus the two priests, along with some Christian Huron Indians, were captured by the Iroquois. They were dragged to a neighboring village, which had been previously sacked by the Iroquois. On entering that village, the missionaries were met with a shower of stones and then made to run the gauntlet. The gauntlet consisted of two rows of braves heavily armed with sticks and clubs. The captives would be made to run through these two rows, and as they did, they would be cruelly beaten. And after running the gauntlet, the Iroquois led the two Jesuits into a large cabin. This cabin, Father Brébeuf himself had designed to be used as a chapel to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But it now had become the place where the Iroquois offered pagan sacrifice to their demon god, Ereskoui. And as they entered the cabin, the two priests saw six torture poles with fires burning around them. Father Brébeuf and Father Lalemant spoke words of consolation to the Christian Huron Indians, because they were whole, fearful, and huddled in a corner. The brave missionaries encouraged them to offer their sufferings up to Almighty God. Father Brébeuf spoke about heaven and the great rewards that awaited them. He said to them, "My friends, let us die in our faith. The sufferings will end with our lives. The grandeur which follows will never have an end." Then, full of rage, the evil Iroquois pounced on Father de Brébeuf as lions pounce on their prey. And so demonic and horrific were these tortures that I will only name a few of them. They first broke the bones in his hands and tore out his fingernails. And when they dragged him to one of the torture poles, St. John de Brébeuf first embraced it and reverently kissed it. They fastened then his wrists to the post. They put burning sticks about his feet and ran flaming torches up and down his legs and around his neck. These savage Indians were determined to make him cry for mercy, but the only cry that came from the lips of St. John de Brébeuf was, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And in example of him, the Christian Hurons would repeat these words of the martyr. They then hung a collar of six red-hot hatchets around Father Brébeuf's neck, three in the back and three in the front. And if he leaned forward, the three hot hatchets would burn his back. And if he leaned back, the three in front would burn his stomach. And then some apostate Huron Indians, who had united with the Iroquois, they remembered how Father Brebeuf had often baptized the sick and the dying. And so they invented a new torture of mockery. With demonic delight, they slowly poured a kettle of scalding water, hot water, over his head. And they said scoffingly, "We baptize you." Throughout all of these terrible sufferings, the saint prayed for his torturers. The only words that came from his lips were, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us." Finally, the sacrificial ceremony was almost complete. The Iroquois had never seen anyone suffer with such courage and serenity. And so they killed him on the spot, instead of keeping him tortured. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on that March 16th, his hours of torture were ended. The great Saint John de Brebeuf met the glorious reward awaiting him in heaven. My dear friends, our Lord once spoke to the apostles these words, which are used in the gospel for the feast of the North American martyrs. He said to them, "Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." And then our Lord said, "Be glad in that day and rejoice. Your reward is great in heaven." My dear friends, these must be words of consolation to us, because today we suffer a persecution. We suffer a persecution which is far greater than any persecution the church has ever seen. It is the worst of persecutions because by it the devil has wrought more damage than in any past age of history. Persecutions in the past have spilt a great deal of blood and have taken many Catholic lives. In fact, it is estimated that during the first 300 years of the Church, 11 million Christians were put to death on account of the faith. And yet the Church continued and survived down through the centuries. But my dear friends, today we face a different kind of persecution. Today we face a persecution which is the most effective persecution the devil has ever waged against the church. And it is the most effective because tens of millions of Catholics have given up their faith and morals. And this they have done without shedding a single drop of blood. We face a severe persecution indeed. Vatican II and the modernists in the new church have, for the most part, destroyed the faith and morals of the people. They have made a mockery of the Mass. They have replaced it with a cheap imitation of a Protestant supper service. We have to give the devil his due. In just a few short years, he has wrought greater havoc upon the church and has done more damage than in the past centuries. And that is why we are here in this conference center, so that we might attend the true Mass and receive the true sacraments. That is why some of us here this morning have traveled quite a distance. And some of you, having lived through the changes, understand this much better than even I do. You remember not going along with the changes, and you remember the terrible suffering that caused. Almost over 50 years later, we are still suffering for our adherence to the one true faith. How many of us receive ridicule and reproach from even friends and even family members for not going along? And what is perhaps worse, how many of us endure the tragedies of close relatives who were once strong traditional Catholics, but who have lost their faith? And these, my dear friends, are not isolated cases. Sadly, rather, this has become the norm. And you know, sometimes when we read about or hear of the great deeds of the martyrs, we might think to ourselves, I would never be able to endure all that suffering. But when you think about it, those martyrs were made of the same flesh and blood which we are made. And they were able to endure the most unspeakable and inhumane cruelties because they had a firm and unshakable faith, as well as a heart on fire with the love of God and with the love for their fellow man for his sake. They firmly believed the words of our Lord when he promised a great reward in heaven to those who suffer for his sake. My dear friends, we may not be called to a cruel martyrdom such as St. John de Brébeuf, although one never knows what may happen in a world that is reverting back to paganism. But just as St. John de Brébeuf and all of the martyrs looked to the future rewards of heaven in the midst of their sufferings, so must we do the same. Remember how St. John de Brébeuf consoled the Christian Indians. He said to them, "Let us die in our faith. The sufferings will end with our lives. The grandeur which follows, that is, the grandeurs of heaven, will never have an end." Let these words console us when we suffer our own trials. And while we do, let us attend the Mass with greater devotion and appreciation. Let us receive the sacraments regularly and faithfully. Let us avoid all sin and the near occasions of sin. Let us keep ourselves unspotted from this world. And in doing so, our Lord will make us steadfast in our faith and strengthen us in defending it. And so whenever we suffer ridicule or derision for our faith by friends and even family members, whenever we are made fun of for coming to this small, out-of-the-way conference center for Mass and the sacraments, let us think of the joys of heaven, which far surpass any worldly enjoyment. And let us also keep in mind the words of our Lord when he said, "Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you and shall reproach you for the Son of Man's sake. Be glad in that day and rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.